the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, and 11th verse. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 10th verse. Let me read the 9th verse. Wherefore we labor, that wherefore, whether present or absent, we may be accepted or acceptable to him. For ye must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now I want to turn to a verse in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. Now turn with me to Luke 12, because Luke 12 is what I'd like to speak on this afternoon, at least a part of it. In Luke we have the kingdom of God. It's a very similar subject that we've had before us in the readings, except here it's a kingdom. Similar thoughts, though. And I'd like to read the first 36 verses. There's much in the reading of them, perhaps more than in the speaking of them. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a certain parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. Faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. We were noticing the judgment seat of Christ. That's the future. What we have here is the present, which will be evaluated in the future. It's what is going on now in this world, in our lives. Everything is noticed. Everything will be manifested. And in the light of the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, it may be that some of these dear young people haven't been aware that there are certain principles that govern the kingdom of God. Now, it's true that we're in the church, if we're believers, and there'll be no judgment, of course, to those who are saved. But remember this, in that day when of manifestation, everything will have had to be evaluated in connection with the kingdom and our place in that kingdom in the millennial day. Because there will be rewards given for whatever is done for Christ in that day. And there will be things that will be burned up. Now, I feel this afternoon a responsibility to call to your attention certain things. Because we're living in a day when evil is creeping in fast. And all of us, but especially the dear young people, are found under certain influences that draw them away from heavenly things to earthly things. Now, everything will be evaluated not in the light necessarily of what's wrong and right as to man's thinking, but what's wrong or right in keeping with the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, we have some of those principles brought before us here. We should be aware. They're all the way through Scripture, but there's much of them in Luke. In Luke, we have moral principles, particularly. Now, what does it mean? What does moral mean? Well, it's excellence in spirit and practice with conduct right and proper. That's what moral is. Excellence in spirit and practice with your conduct right and proper. It might be right, not be proper. And so we have principles and moral principles brought before us. And it says here in the first verse, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, what is hypocrisy? Saying one thing and doing another. And let's examine our hearts this afternoon, dear friends. Are we saying one thing and doing another? Are we saying that we are disciples of Jesus Christ and walking according to this present world? That's hypocrisy. And that's what he has to say to us first of all. Hypocrisy. We make a profession of being gathered to the Lord's name. We make a profession of God having given us the highest truths, and what are we doing with them? Are we walking in them? Didn't we have that this morning in our chapter? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, he reminds us here that in every detail of our lives, everything that's done, there'll have to be an accounting for it. And there'll either be reward, or it'll have to go to the fire, one of the two. Oh, the believer will be saved. But the point is, how will we end up in this life? But Jude speaks of autumn, of autumnal leaves. Now, you know, in autumn, you take the persimmon tree, for instance. After all the leaves are gone, you look at the tree and you see that beautiful golden fruit hanging on the tree. It's a picture of the end of a life. Is that the way your life is going to end, with fruit? Or when the leaves are gone, will the tree be bare? No fruit for God? (Clears throat) Now he says, I say unto you, my friends. Judas was there. 12 disciples. Judas was there. Fourth verse, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him whom after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I trust that there's no one in this room this afternoon that has taken the place of Judas. Judas betrayed his master, you know. But if this be the case, this verse is for you. He's saying it to his disciples. Fear him. But now, you'll notice in the next verse, he says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? 2 sparrows were sold for 1 farthing. And when they took 5, they had one cast in because they were so worthless anyhow. They just threw another one in. That's not what they were worth. Now the Lord says, not one of them is forgotten before God. So you see, it doesn't matter whether it's that which is good in your life or that which is evil in your life, and it could be both. Everything is remembered. Everything. And what's more, notice, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. There's only one who has ever numbered the hairs of your head, and that's God. And if he's taken the trouble to number the hairs of your head, he must have a purpose in it. And we find in the 21st chapter the purpose. Not one of those hairs will ever perish. Oh, what a glorious day when those bodies are raised to be just like Christ. There won't be one hair missing. That's the care God takes of his children. Not one hair missing. I like to think of the Lord Jesus, 33 years old, we'd be just like him. No old age, no immaturity. Oh, what a day that will be. Just like Christ. But remember, we're talking about deeds done in the body down here now. That's the subject. In view of that day that's coming, are you think of the day that's coming as you pass on through this world now? Are you thinking of how everything that you have done is going to be called into review in that coming day? And so he says, I know all about it. Not one sparrow will fall. We have two things now before us. One is the warning about hypocrisy. The warning about hypocrisy. What a solemn thing it is to pass through life living an unreal life down here. An unreal life. Having things hidden deep down in your heart that have never been judged in the presence of God. Do you know that Abraham went for 100 years? Almost 100 years. Not quite, but almost 100 years. With a secret deep down in his heart he'd never judged. He said Sarah was his sister instead of his wife. It's what you call a white lie, you know. There's no such thing as a white lie. It's a lie. And you know, He never got his Isaac until he judged it. Remember that. I'm not saying he could have had Isaac before. I don't know. But I know he never got Isaac till he judged it. Are you and I carrying something deep down in our souls that we haven't judged? You know, in this world, as we were saying, we're under certain influences. There are those who are leaders. And oh, how easily one can be trapped into the principles of this world. Take business, for example. How easy it is in business to add just a little more than what's right to the bill. Am I guilty of this? Are you guilty of this? You come out at the judgment seat of Christ. These are practical things. And when you're in business, do you take the principles of the world for your business? Do you say, I have to join in an unequal yoke? Come out the judgment seat of Christ. Solemn, isn't it? No. You don't have to. You don't have to go in an unequal yoke to do business here. What are you after? Hoarding up money? Is that what you want? You know what it says in Ephesians? The highest truth we have in the Word of God. And God stops and says, he that stole, let him steal no more. Is that the end of it? No. Work with his hands that which is good, so he can hoard it up. Is that the way you read your Bible? Some of us do, friends. Some of us do. So that thief may have to give to him that needeth. He's converted now. You remember the 18th chapter of Matthew? There was a man who owed his master 100 talents, wasn't it? I don't remember. Maybe 1,000. It makes no difference. And he begged for mercy, and he gave him mercy. And then he went out, and he had a servant who owed him some money. And he took him by the throat, cast him into prison until he could pay all of it. Was he righteous? Yes, he was righteous. Well, you say, yes? Think it over. He was righteous. He had a perfect right to do that. You have a perfect right to sue in case someone has taken something that belongs to you. But he was thrown to the tormentors. Why? Because he wasn't acting righteously? Oh, he was acting righteously. But he wasn't acting in grace, you see. Do you realize that you're living in the day of grace, not in the day of righteousness under the law? Oh, we must act righteously, but we have to go beyond that. We have to go beyond that. If you and I are acting only righteously, we have no testimony down here. Do you believe that? What characterizes the Gospel of Luke is heavenly grace, not just righteousness. Have you and I forgotten why we're here as Christians, beloved? Grace. Even John Wesley, who doesn't know the truth that some of you know, he said, blessed with the scorn of finite good, my soul is lightened of its load and seeks the things above. Yes, we should be under the influence of heavenly things, not earthly things. Oh, how easy it is to fall into the pattern of this world through which we're passing. Turn with me to a verse in the 38th of Job, please. We're not going to finish our chapter. We're not going to try to. 31st verse. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Quite a question, isn't it? The sweet influences, Pleiades. Seven stars of heaven that have an influence on the earth, I understand. Heavenly influences. Can you bind them? Oh, you say you're speaking in symbols. Oh, yes, I am. Symbols. The sweet influences of heavenly things, what I'm talking about. Can you bind them? You better. What does it mean to bind them? Put yourself under the authority of heavenly principles. That's what it means. Sweet influences. What are they? The life of Christ. See now in the believer down here in practice. Those are the sweet influences of Pleiades. Typically. You belong to Christ. You want to represent Him down here? That's what you're here for. Well, now, we have more principles here. In the 11th verse, and they bring you unto the synagogues, and not the magistrates. I've skipped one thing. You'll find that confession follows the fact that, in the 8th verse, follows the fact that the heart can now confide in Christ, not living a life of hypocrisy, but confiding in Christ. Now you can make a confession for Christ down here. But now going on to the 11th verse. And when they bring you unto the synagogue and unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost will teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Now, that's a principle. It isn't just a question of magistrates. It's a question of ministering the truth of Christ as well, because it's a principle. When you minister the truth of Christ, do you minister? Is that what the Spirit of God brings to your soul, or are you the minister from notes? One is the ministry of the Spirit, and the other is the ministry of the flesh. I speak plainly, my friends. Whether you're standing before the magistrates or whether you're standing up to preach Christ, it's the same principle. Be sure of it. And there's no result for blessing unless it's on the basis of the ministry that what the Spirit of God leads in it. All this will appear, beloved, at the judgment seat of Christ. And now we have a man that comes to the Lord and he says, I want you to divide the inheritance. I want my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now we have two covetous men, don't we? One wants to keep it and the other wants to get it. And one of the principles that's being used in business today is to get the other man's money, isn't it? Oh, what a world we're living in. Covetousness on every hand. What a solemn thing it is. Let's not be under the power of money. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, let your conversation be without the love of money, says New Translation. We're living in a country where this is the thing, to have money and position. But what
characterize our blessed Savior. Show me a penny. Show me a penny. No place to lay his head. Are we entitled to any more than this? Now, I know we have other scriptures that counterbalance. If a man provide not for his house, he denied the faith. Denied the faith. We have our responsibilities in both directions. The point is the love of it. It's the love of money that is a root of every evil. A root of every evil. Now that 15th verse, let's read it this way. A man's life is not in his possessions. Is your life in possessions? God says it isn't. A man's life is not in his possessions. No, it's hid with Christ in God. That's where it is. Have we bound ourselves with the sweet influences of Pleiades? Have we put ourselves under the authority of heavenly influences and principles? We can't go into this story. You know it well. You know, I sometimes think of that man in the 16th of Luke that's in hell, and he lifts up his eyes, and he sees Abraham afar off. That's a sequence to what we have here. I don't say it's the same man, but it's a picture of the man who lived for self. You'll notice here he says, I and me and my all the way through. My barns, my goods. That's covetousness. It all belongs to God. It isn't yours at all. Just a trust is all it is. And now in that 16th chapter, he's in hell and he wants a little water to cool his tongue. He'd been living in splendor down here. And Lazarus lay at his gate full of sores, but now the tables are turned. Oh, if God would give us a picture, beloved, of what's coming. How it would change our lives. Oh, how much we live for the present, the things of the present. 22nd verse. Now he's speaking to his disciples directly again, and that's me and you. Be sure of it, he's speaking to us this afternoon. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? And then the lilies, as far as clothing is concerned, arrayed in glory. God does this. You know, it's strange, isn't it, how little faith we have? We trust God for all eternity, and we can't trust Him for a few years down here. Sometimes God allows us to get into a situation where we're disabled. We can't do a thing, and the expenses start coming in. We don't know what to do. Have you ever been in such a position? I'm sure many here have. I have. You know, God just opens the way right in front of you. Supplies everything you need. Oh, what a wonderful experience. But why do we have to go to all that pain to get it? Why can't we just trust God to start with, instead of getting all the pain with it? Because He wants us to trust Him. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have confidence in God. I haven't the time. I'd like to tell you one or two instances, but I haven't the time of those who have had this experience of just casting themselves entirely upon God for things that you wouldn't think of doing.
God carries them right through. Practical truths. Now the 31st verse. But seek ye rather. Seek ye the kingdom of God. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added to you. The one who's going on in the right state of soul never needs to be concerned about temporal circumstances. You believe that? Have you bound the sweet influence of Pleiades? You don't need to be concerned about temporal circumstances. You might be tested, but God will see you through. If He's going to see you through for eternity, won't He see you through for here? Now, we read that scripture in Jeremiah. And we find a curse upon the man that makes flesh his arm. That's solemn. To make flesh my arm, there's a curse connected with it. To trust in man, there's a curse connected with it. Another thing we read there, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Am I going to trust this heart that's deceitful? There's only one who knows that heart, and that's God Himself. He tries it. He knows it. And He tries that heart. Well, how does all this figure up then in connection with that day of manifestation? When the things that are spoken in the closet are going to be shouted from the housetops. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Not literally, of course. It's an illustration. It'll be fully revealed. And everything from the moment you enter this world, not from the time you became a Christian, but the moment you enter this world until the judgment seat of Christ, everything will be manifested. Solemn, isn't it? That's Ecclesiastes, the last verse or two. Every work should be brought into judgment. Every work. That includes everything. From the moment you and I enter this world till we leave it, will be manifested. Oh, how precious we have here, in the right in the midst of this account, where the Spirit of God is bringing home to our hearts these solemn principles, that not one sparrow is forgotten. How God takes a keen interest in every detail of our lives. There isn't a thing He misses. There isn't an hour in our lives, the deepest trial, but what He knows exactly what's going on, and He cares too. He cares every moment. And there's no one else that does. Do you know of anybody else that's counted the hairs of your head? God has. God has. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Going to give you the kingdom. And so He's going to give you bread and butter too, all the way. All the way. He's going to give you the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God now. Sell what you have. Now, what does this mean? You know, when you go to sell something, you find out what it's worth, don't you? And that's the point here. Evaluate it. What you have down here in this world, evaluate it in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Everything will be seen in its true value there. There's a day of Jubilee in Israel. And the nearer they got to that day, the less everything that they had in their hands was worth. because everything had to be turned over in the day of Jubilee. As they drew near that day of Jubilee, down went the price, down, down, down. And you know the price is pretty low right now, brethren, because the Lord's coming at any moment. Everything you see with your eyes and you hold with your hands, it's worthless in the light of that day. Sell it. What does that mean? Use it in view of the coming day of glory. That's the 16th of Luke. Everything you have is to be used now in view of the day of manifestation. Used for Christ. Give alms. Give alms. Christianity is more than righteousness, as we said. It's grace. Have you and I had any experience in this? Are we moving right up to the line? What's righteous is stopping there? There's no Christianity until you start beyond it. Grace. Now you start with Christianity. Do you know what Christianity is? Provide yourselves backs with wax not old. No, those bags in the they're laid up for up in heaven, they won't wax old. Therefore, keeps, as they say, forever. A treasure in the heavens. The result of binding those sweet influences, the Pleiades, a treasure in the heavens. Do you know anything of this? Do I know anything of this? That faileth not where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. That's not true of things here, beloved. A brother told me that he had the aim of, this was day, years ago, when $60,000 was worth something. But he said he had one aim, make $60,000, and it wasn't but a few days after he got it, he lost it all. There wasn't any treasure in the heavens, was it? But this dear brother did have treasure in the heavens, I know. But this one thing in his life was a mistake. He made an aim because his heart was set upon money. Another man can be filled with that filthy lucre and serve it, serve Christ with it, because as a steward, God has given it to him to use. That's a different thing. But to seek it, my friends, is covetousness. And he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and he knows not that poverty shall come upon him. Solemn words. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be sure of it. Be sure of it. If Christ is your treasure, your heart will be there. Money is your treasure, your heart will be there. That poor man that tore down his barns to build greater, he had no treasure in the heavens. Where is he now? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. No treasure. Nothing. Blackness of darkness forever. And ye yourselves, let your loins be girded about. Wrap up those loose garments so you can run. And your lights burning. My brother read that verse to us this morning. Your lights burning. Burning. Communion. Because testimony is the overflow of communion. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. There are three things mentioned here connected with the Lord's coming. The first thing is waiting so that you might open the door for him immediately. What a happy prospect to be right at the door when he comes to open the door for him. Another picture, of course. But there's a special reward. You get to open the door. The next is watching. We won't go into it because of time. Watching for him. Now there's a reward for that too. Well, he's going to sit us down at the table and wait on us, serve us. Oh, what a day that will be. But then there's another one too, the one who's doing when he's coming. Waiting, watching, and doing. And what's the reward for that? He's going to make him ruler over all that he has. Oh, how wonderful. What a bright prospect for the believer. But what a solemn thing, the judgment seat of Christ for our works.